Good day, patrons, and bienvenidos a los pre-shows.
Pre-shows.
I said los, so I kind of had to finish with a plural, but...
El pre-show.
I was doing really good on learning a little bit of Spanish every day for like a couple of years. Brett remembers riding in a car with me in Austin, bet, where I was trying to learn
Duolingo.
Spanish. Yeah. And then I switched to Memrise. I was using Memrise for a while. It finally got too much. Like over the holidays, I just like, I'm going to take a break from this for a while. I want to go back to it, but it's funny. Those things like just do one little thing a day. If you do like 12 of those, it gets to be too much.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's only $5.99 a month for this service.
Yeah.
Great. And then all of a sudden you're spending $300 a month on subscription services.
Just take 10 minutes a day to do these 16 things and you'll be spending a few hours a day. Like, wait a minute.
Right. Language is a hard one to learn piecemeal too, because unless you like really have a need for it, it's hard to get it to stick.
Yeah, you have to use it. That's the problem. That's why I was doing it every day, because I'm like, oh, I'm learning it faster if I do it every day. But then I did finally get to a point where I was dreading it. I kept putting it off. And that's not a good state of mind to be in. So,
no.
But hey, we've got fun stuff to talk about on the show today. Like,
were you about to say?
I was about to say the topic that got blocked on Telegram, and then I realized that's
not a great place.
Not as funny as out loud as maybe it was going to feel in my head.
That's the story of my life.
Yeah. Hey, but look, I didn't say it. But no, we don't want to talk about the content being blocked. We want to talk about Apple's communication skills. So that will be more fun, right?
Yeah.
Brett, how is it going?
It's great, Sarah. I miss your voice. I miss your face. It's good to see you.
Well, you shouldn't miss my voice. I'm available.
In many formats.
Touche. Now that I am I'm like full-time dad duty, I have a lot less time for podcasts right now. It's not that I don't have time. It's that the baby is vocal now. And mm-hmm. So she's like, hey, stop doing that. I want to play.
Yeah.
She doesn't actually say that. What she says is, and that means
play. Right, right. You've learned.
Glad I could help.
How to translate that.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Congratulations on... I did have a baby. In fact, there's another one coming.
Oh, double congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the first one's already a year and a half now, and the second one is due in August.
So you guys got bored with it? You're like, we've had it for a year and a half. Let's get a new one.
Katie did. Yeah, I feel like she's just kind of coming into her own. She's like finally entertaining, but Katie's like, I like babies, not toddlers. Yeah, ship this one out.
This one's starting to walk around. Ugh.
Yeah. Also, just like with app development, you got to keep shipping.
Yeah.
Things get stale.
Right. Please make only baby analogies when we talk about app development from now on.
Oh my God, I'm trying so hard not to.
It's amazing. Right now. Patreon launched their lens feature that lets you do kind of Snapchat-like things in the Patreon. And I've already used it enough that someone complained about how many notifications they were getting.
Whoa.
That's how you know.
So I know I've hit the...
You're making an impact.
I found the line. Sorry, Miko.
Did you though, or does that mean it's working?
Yeah, well, it's a little of both, right? Like you push to the line, and then you're like, okay, there's the line. Now I know where to sit on the line.
Now ride that line.
Ride that line. Actually, Miko was only asking, like, is there a way to turn off the lens notifications, or do I have to turn off everything? Like, wasn't really complaining. He did call me spam, though. I was hurt.
Sitting is dangerous. I'm so comfortable. I'm like, why did I ever stand? No, I will again. Just thought I'd do something different.
So if Sarah nods off in the middle of the show, you know why. It's the incredibly comfortable seat she's got.
I think it's also better if you're wearing glasses.
That darn sitting.
To sit down.
That makes me look insane.
Yeah, I like the glasses. I think they look good.
I'm going to start the stream.
Okay.
Or is it two?
It's 6 minutes earlier than you usually do, but I'm game.
I'm me.
Don't pick your nose, anyone.
Pick your friends.
I'm going to hit stage.
You can pick your friends, and he can pick your friends. Mine feels
right now. I feel like I did a better than.
Oh, what before. Happened to your video?
Hey, Brett.
Brett's was it when you went live, or was that just a coincidence?
Maybe, Brett. If you can't hear us,
Brett. If you can hear me.
Log out and then log back into Google Hangouts. I didn't do nothing.
No, he was fine.
Oh, right. Yep.
Cool. Brett, we lost you there for a minute.
Oh, he said BRB.
Oh, he said BRB. Okay,
because he heard me.
Gotcha.
I just logged back in.
Also, I just realized I'm wearing my Cat Sanctuary shirt, but you can't see it because I put my hair on the wrong.
Oh,
Sarah just left.
But the back part right is the cool part anyway.
Yeah, that's the cool part. Just do the show like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do it too.
We'll just, yeah, it'll be like a, you know.
Be our new thing.
A statement of some kind.
We're the crazy tech news show that stands backwards.
We're pro things on back of shirts.
I guess I'd need a thing on the back of my shirt.
That's what's wrong.
Sarah loves her new set. She loves playing with it.
Why are we whispering?
I don't know.
It's like, it's an ongoing project. I do love it, though.
I'm excited because I'm going to, I'm sorry, BioCow, I just saw BioCow in the chat room wrote, back to you, Tom, back to you, Sarah, back to you, Tom, back to you, Sarah, get it, back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Made me laugh. All right. I'm excited because I'm taking Ray the dog to get her vaccinations this afternoon, and she always loves that.
She doesn't love it, right?
No, she hates it. Yeah. It's usually because vaccinations are easy at my vet because you don't have to make an appointment. You just drop by and they're like, okay, cool. Doot, 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 and we're done. But they suck because you don't get to go into a waiting room. So she gets all nervous out in the, you know, the lobby area.
Yeah.
And starts shaking. And I'm like, really, it's not that bad. You're going to be fine.
Sam pees when we take him to the vet.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's a cat, if anyone doesn't realize.
Yes. My feline Sam. Yeah. But it's no fun. It's no fun for anybody.
No. What was it? I saw a video. We were watching Animal Planet because of the Puppy Bowl. And I don't know if it was a promo or what, but somebody was showing like, oh, and at their wedding, instead of flowers, they had puppies and each maid of honor carried a puppy down the aisle. And immediately we're like, it would pee all over you in your nice dress. Like, how do you... You put diapers on the puppy? How does that work?
Don't you put diapers on monkeys and chimps?
I never have.
Nope. Not a thing I've done.
I've only been around monkeys a couple of times.
What if?
Oh, looky there.
Made it.
Awesome.
You can ignore that text I just sent.
Okay. I will not read this thing that says, how's things over there?
That was my polite way of like, everything okay?
Get nervous.
Stop breaking. All right.
We were just talking about taking pets to be vaccinated.
Here.
You might need to step down the broadband setting in Hangouts. Brett.
Yep, on it.
And... ooh, okay. Extreme close, Brett. That's Google. That's Hangouts' like high tech way of dealing with bandwidth. Is like, we'll just make the picture closer.
So is my bandwidth crappy? Is that why it zooms in? Like,
yeah,
my shots are wider.
Well, it's fewer pixels when you're zoomed in. So,
I never used to do this.
I don't know about yours, Roger. Mm. All right, 4 minutes. You... 4 minutes, people. 4 minutes, showtime.
I like it.
Dare I lens again? Miko and I have talked. It's all good. I'll try this lens
thing. All right. I made it all the way through the rundown. These are good stories, guys. I'm excited. Good work. Go team.
Thank you, Brett. We're very excited to do the show with you today. Go A's.
I think it's been a long time since anyone said that and meant it.
I actually beat it. I still love the A's. Check this out.
I very much love the idea of the A's.
Let me just show you my bona fides.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Do you have the new one about, what is it? What's it called?
There's a
new A's book that just came
2003
out.
2003 through 2008 media guides.
Oh, wow. That's important to have so close to your station.
That's
there.
That's what I mean. I always keep them near me.
When was the last time you opened the 2005 A's media guide?
2006, maybe?
I'm going to be honest. I'm a little surprised you've ever opened it.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely opened it in 2005. I always read through them and went the years I bought.
Oh, see, it does show. I guess if I like.
I'm out of breath from picking up all those books. But I could do it with my frozen shoulder.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
It's much better. I can do this now without assistance, putting my arm behind my back.
Nice.
That's my big progress this week.
Did you have to have any surgery or anything on it?
No surgery. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Just rehab.
I was out for like most of last summer. There was like 6 months there where I was totally useless. I had to have shoulder surgery last year.
Yeah, that's why I was glad I didn't have to have the surgery, because that makes the recovery time much more intense.
Yeah. It's a weird feeling being like a useless 37-year-old.
Yeah, being a useless 47-year-old is no time
better. Fair enough.
All right. Sarah, how you doing there? You good?
Yep.
You about ready?
Yep.
All right. Well, here we go then.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by its audience, not outside organizations. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, February 6, 2018, from DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline 2.0, I'm Sarah Lane.
And joining us from the Nickel Dime, Oakland, California, Brett Rounceville, a.k.a. Amtrucker. How's it going, Brett?
Hello, it's great. The Nickel Dime, that's from the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, I pulled that one out in 2005, right? Right, like that media guide for the Oakland A's I pulled out right before the show. Producer Roger Chang is here as well. How are you, Roger?
I'm doing good. I remember it. The store is the Five and Dime, but Nickel and Dime work as well.
I'm still riding the high of watching that SpaceX Falcon Heavy launch that happened 20 minutes or so before the show. That was impressive. Did you watch it, Brett?
I did. Yeah, that was super exciting. I can't believe it. Like, what a magical world we live in after my entire lifetime not being involved in space at all.
I was feeling jaded about the car. I was like, this is impressive. You don't need to put a car in there as a stunt. And then when they showed the car and played the Bowie song and I saw Don't Panic on the screen, I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. Darn it.
Right? Like that's what happens when you get like a rich nerd who really wants to do something impressive.
Someday it'll be us. Sarah, let's start with a few tech things you should know.
The European Commission will review Apple's acquisition of Shazam, which was announced in December. Seven European countries requested the review based on competition concerns.
Ooh, and the trial of the 10-month week? The trial that's going on right now, Uber Waymo. Uber founder Travis Kalanick took the witness stand in that trial and said under oath that he believed Waymo is in the lead in developing autonomous cars. Remember, he founded Uber. He would want to say Uber, but under oath, he had to say, no, they have the lead. And I guess that's important in determining, you know, how valuable stealing information was. Kalanick also admitted that he did meet with former Waymo and Uber employee Anthony Lewandowski in 2015 before Lewandowski had left Google. And if you recall, the whole trial is about the fact that Lewandowski is accused of taking proprietary information from the Google division that became Waymo and then giving it to Uber. That's the allegation anyway.
New Jersey, the latest state to pass an executive order that requires ISPs to follow net neutrality rules if they sell internet service to state agencies. The order says these agencies may only buy internet service from ISPs that adhere to net neutrality principles, and the protections will cover both ordinary residents and government officials. The order will apply to ISPs that accept state contracts on or after July 1st.
There's going to be a lot of court cases around this. Sources tell Variety that Viacom is acquiring web video conference VidCon. They look so similar when they're written down next to each other.
There's no way this isn't just a typo, right?
Yeah, I know. In 2017, VidCon drew more than 30,000 attendees, many of them online video personalities. I have been at VidCon and seen young people screaming and chasing after other young people in a Beatles-esque kind of way. Last month, Viacom acquired Husay, a marketing firm that targets the younger demographic online with branded content. So, hey, acquiring the Comic-Con of the YouTube generation maybe is a good deal for Viacom.
Yeah, I mean, either that or they have to put on their own conference.
Yeah.
Buy one.
Just buy it. Yeah, build it. Now, here are some more top stories.
The Apple HomePod review embargo has lifted, and the consensus seems to be general consensus. Looks good, sounds good, but it's $349. Voice control is limited to Siri, only working with Apple Music, no third-party service support. The company might have its work cut out for it. HomePod reviews published today shine a little light on upcoming features like Full Room, which will enable two HomePods to automatically detect and balance each other to create stereo-like sound. The HomePod's multi-room audio support via AirPlay 2 will be available later this year.
Yeah. Okay. This is the Apple fan person test right here. I like Apple products when they work well with things that I use. Sometimes that's naturally an Apple lock-in, but it's because, hey, I have an iPhone. I can use it with this watch. That's fine. With something like HomePod, though, this does not appeal to me at all. I want to have an Amazon Echo or a Google Home that I can use with a bunch of different things. In fact, those two feel too locked down for me as they are. Having something that's even more limited like this, I mean, just music quality alone is not enough to sway me. Brett, what do you think?
What's interesting about this is it's straight out of the Apple playbook, right? Like the iPhone came super locked down. The App Store didn't come until like the 3GS and we started getting third-party stuff. But what they're missing here is back then they were the first to market for a smartphone like that. Now they're trying to use that same playbook when Siri is already, or I'm sorry, Alexa is already amazing. Google's fine. Like they're both better than Siri, maybe not better at sound quality, but certainly a better like personal assistant.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the reviews, it's like you hear the refrain of like, I love Apple, but this is perplexing to me, even as an Apple fan. You know, it seems beautiful. Sound is good. I mean, Apple has promised on that, but yeah, it's it's expensive. It's limited. You know, you don't have the third party support at all. It's like, it's a really tough sell.
It's better.
I mean, it's a 1.0 and you expect them to be amazing at 3.0, but I mean, they should have started at 3.0 this time around.
They're going to be the last ones to market.
I'm not counting.
It's also like, how long are we going to be all like, Siri's not that great. I mean, Siri has never been that great and it's been years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's a big part of why you would buy a HomePod.
I'm not going to count them out yet. Apple tends to come out with things that aren't great at first and get better, but they don't always. So I'm putting this somewhere between Apple Watch and Apple Hi-Fi, if you remember that huge iPod dock.
That's a pretty low end of the spectrum.
Yeah, that's below the HomePod's better than that. A letter from Apple to U.S. lawmakers sent February 2nd and made public Tuesday said Apple has seen strong demand for replacement iPhone batteries, and the company is considering offering rebates to those who paid full price for battery replacements. Remember, back in December, Apple lowered the price to $29. Apple also said it updated software in January last year to slow phones with weak batteries to prevent crashes, but it admits it did not update the consumer notes to highlight the change until February because Apple says it wanted to confirm that the update indeed reduced the crashes. Apple doesn't call them crashes.
You could have told people and then still just like kept an eye on it.
Well, I understand the logic of what they're saying is you don't want to tell people this stops crashes and then the next month find out, nah, it really didn't stop crashes. But you still should tell people you're slowing down their iPhone in certain cases. I agree with you there. Apple also said iPhone 8, iPhone 8 Plus, and iPhone 10 models include hardware updates that allow a more advanced performance management system that more precisely allows iOS to anticipate and avoid an unexpected shutdown. It's a little bit of a change of tune for them. They previously said they might roll out this performance slowdown to save crashes to other hardware in the future. This time in the letter, they said, they didn't say they would never do it, but they said these new phones have a different system, sort of leaving you to fill in, so they probably won't need this.
I love
this
the
into
the
a much bigger deal than I thought it was going to be at the beginning, you know?
Yeah, the headline on that first article seems so silly, though, right? Like Apple, whoa, we have a lot of demand for new batteries when we told everyone they suck. It's like a GM came out and said, hey, there's a small chance that all four tires on the new car might explode. And then, like, miracle of miracles, we saw a jump in demand on tires last month.
I mean, okay, your iPhone's battery causing an unexpected shutdown is not the same as your tires exploding. But I get where you're going with that. Yeah.
I may have used a little bit of hyperbole to prove my point, but the point is the same. Like when your stuff is broke and then you tell everyone they can fix it for a cheap price, like of course people are going to jump on that.
And I agree, Sarah. This has turned into a big deal. I mean, we've got congressional testimony being required, and it's all because they didn't tell people. I mean, I actually believe in what Apple's doing here, which is putting in a system to prevent unexpected shutdowns. I don't mind if my phone is a tiny bit slower if it doesn't crash all the time. Like, that's fair. But
and even their explanation is like, well, okay. You know, they weren't like trying to like upset everybody. It just didn't work out.
Just tell me you're doing it. I think that's what they blew here.
Yeah, the problem is it should have just been a toggle in settings like your low battery feature, and you get to opt into it.
Moving on to Google, which has added augmented reality stickers to its Motion Stills app. Android users can use it to stabilize shaky video, add motion text, or put a virtual chicken in the middle of your video. I knew I was going to laugh. You place the chicken or the gingerbread man on a flat surface in the camera's field of view. Then you shoot a video, and then the chicken or the cookie man or whoever will stay in place as you move around. It doesn't use AR Core, so it can't match objects to scale, but it can work on any Android device with a gyroscope.
This is cool, and it actually reminds me a little bit of how Apple's been doing their AR kit. Where it's device independent, it just doesn't have as many features. I think it's smart for Google to do this and bring it to the widest number of phones in the world. And you know, anything with a gyroscope in it, basically that's you know within the last several years, is going to be able to put a chicken in your hand. Or a T-Rex. This is one of those things like Microsoft did a similar thing where you could put. You could put virtual objects in a real scene, and we played around that when that first showed up for Windows 10. fun to play around with. I don't know that it's really, maybe I'm just in the wrong circles, but I don't know that it's really catching on with the kids. Maybe it is. I don't talk to
kids. I think it's more like catch up. Like Google is just making sure that they're throwing the same developer tools out there that everyone else is. And it's kind of up to the developers to decide whether or not there's something fun in here.
Yeah. I know Snapchat has all kinds of AR-like filters, and Instagram has some too.
Stabilizing shaky video too.
That I mean, yes, that one I get.
You know, like I would use that.
Amazon announced that starting Wednesday, February 7th, it's removing the lock screen ads from phones it sells in its Prime exclusive phone program. What this has been is you could buy a phone through Amazon and you'd get ads on the lock screen, but you get a discount on the phone. The phone will be a lot cheaper. The removal will supposedly help fast unlocking tech so they can sell phones that have facial recognition and fingerprint sensors. But it's going to raise the price of the phones. So you could still get mid-range phones from LG and Moto. Nokia 6 is part of this plan. But the discount won't be as much. Still have a discount. Just won't be as much as it used to be. But you won't have ads on your lock screen anymore. The only promotional consideration will be they will come pre-installed with Prime Video, Prime Music, Amazon apps.
What's interesting about this one is like what an afterthought the lock screen has become. Like in the first smartphones, it didn't have anything to do with privacy or buying anything. It was just a way to not butt dial. And now we've reached a point where it's like this kludgy after story. Like we don't even really need them anymore with the tech that we have, like that can sense whether or not we're actually typing or whether or not we literally did butt dial. And privacy is app to app now, so it's a weird thing that that Amazon is realizing this first.
Well, and it's sort of like a pre-roll, right? It's like there are just better ways to advertise rather than, you know, it's a thing smack in the middle of the lock screen.
I wonder if that's part of it. With facial recognition and fingerprint IDs, you don't spend as much time looking at the lock screen. So I wonder if advertisers are like, we're just not getting enough awareness out of it because people don't look at their lock screens anymore. Anyway,
it's a pretty easy ad to ignore too, even if you are looking at it. Like you're looking at it when you want to be doing something very specific that is not looking at an ad.
Yeah. I for one salute not having ads poking me in the face on my lock screen. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, if I liked a phone for all other reasons, I would not want ads on my lock screen. Just kind of janky looking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Le Figaro reports France's high court has ruled that drivers are not allowed to touch a smartphone unless they're parked in a designated parking spot with the engine off. An exception made for drivers who have been in an accident or had a vehicle breakdown. Violators can be fined 135 euros.
So the reason the high court ruled this is the law said you couldn't use your phone while you were circulating in traffic, and the court was deciding what that meant. And the court decided that means you're not in park, or you're on the side of the road in park, but you're not in a parking spot. They're like, you're in traffic, and that's what the law means, so you can't touch your phone while you're doing that. So this would mean in France now, you can't pull over to the side of the road, put the car in park, and talk on the phone unless you've pulled into a legitimate parking spot.
And turned your car off. Like,
oh, and turned your car off. Right. That's a good point. You can't, even if you're in a legitimate parking spot, that engine has to be off, according to the court.
Yeah. I mean, it would be super sucky if that was the same restriction here, because I know a lot of people text and drive, but it's like nobody should. You know, you got to, like, how do you change behavior? It's a pretty, you know, you got to find people.
Sure. Nobody should. But don't you feel like this is misaligning I'm also on a cough medicine right now. But why wouldn't you just think, the fine's the same now. I might as well just do it while I'm driving.
I mean, that's a really good point, because I am very strict about not talking on the phone while I'm driving. And I have pulled over to the side of the road and put the car in park to have a conversation with Brian Brushwood on the phone. But I would have been in violation of this law. So at that point, would I have gone and found a parking lot to have that conversation? Or would I have just like, you know what, I'll just put him on speakerphone. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Right.
And to me, it's the distraction that's the problem, not the holding of the phone, but moving over to the side, I think is fine. If you can move over to the side of the road for other reasons, you should be able to move over the side of the road for this.
Yeah, it seems strange. It'll be interesting to see whether or not it has any kind of effect at all.
The thing too is, like, in my car, it's like, I can connect to my car's speakers, so it's relatively hands-free. But the more you use the hands-free feature, the more you're kind of like needing to interact with the phone, just, you know, for little things here and there. So it's like, it's almost like a gateway drug. Like, the phone should be like in my trunk or something where I just can't even touch it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like things like Android Auto, because they put it in an automobile-oriented interface for you, and I think that's better.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines. You can get it on the Amazon Echo, on the Google Home, and the Anchor app, as well as a podcast at dailytechheadlines.com. So last week, Telegram, the messaging app, if you follow the show, you remember, was suspended from the iOS App Store. Turns out the reason it was suspended was because of concerns about child porn being transmitted over Telegram's system. Now, this is a hard one to maybe wrap your head around if you don't use Telegram. We're not talking about individuals on what is a secure messaging service that's supposed to be unsnoopable, sending illicit material to each other. We're not saying the Telegram wants that to happen. They should have no way of knowing that given their system. What they're talking about are plugins and add-ons and bots, things like that that can be known, like, hey, add this bot to your Telegram system and it will send you this kind of content. There's legitimate uses for that. It sounds like there was an illegitimate use of that going on. The way we found out the reason at all was because Apple's Phil Schiller, who's in charge of the App Store, emailed an Apple user, 9to5 Mac reader Elijah, emailed Phil Schiller about it, and Schiller wrote back, "The Telegram apps were taken down off the App Store because the App Store team was alerted to illegal content, specifically child pornography, in the apps. After verifying the existence of the illegal content, the team took the apps down from the store, alerted the developer, and notified the proper authorities, including the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children." Fair enough. I think that is the right move for Apple to do. I think Telegram did the right thing in cooperating and making sure that they got whatever was causing this out of the system. But Brett, as an app developer, my first reaction when I heard this story was, here Apple goes again with vague excuses that are hard to define. I mean, talk about your experience as an app maker with this kind of communication.
Yeah, I never in a million years would have thought I'd have mixed feelings about an article about child pornography. But what is most shocking to me is it's so tough to get information out of Apple about what they don't like about your app if you happen to get if you happen to not get approved for the App Store for whatever reason, or if it happens to get taken down. They do give very vague reasons, if they give reasons at all. So what blows my mind is that they gave very specific reasons to a person who wrote in asking what was going on. And especially when it's something like the impossible black eye of child pornography. Like, that's a thing that if I were making Telegram, I would not want Apple to be withholding from me.
Isn't that also just odd PR messaging? Like, Phil, right? Schiller emails just some consumer, and then 9to5 Mac gets and that's the first anyone's heard of this?
It's very strange, and I would say that from my experience, the developer end of Apple is the worst run part of Apple, and largely because of communication gaffes like this. It's such a strange world.
Yeah, and there's a few moving pieces here to think about as you're making up your mind what you think about this out there. One is, maybe they told Telegram what the actual problem was in this case. Maybe Apple did communicate that directly.
I feel like they probably did in this case.
But that's not usual. That's what you're saying. Right. Maybe they did that because it was Telegram and maybe it was such a big problem. That's one of the problems is, like, oh, so you have to be big or in a special case to get a specific reason out of Apple. That's frustrating for app developers. Right. But the other thing is that Telegram decided they didn't want to make public what that reason was if they were told. And then Apple, like you said, went and told a reader of 9to5 Mac about it in a side channel, which just, I know Steve Jobs used to do this and Tim Cook has done it, where they answer a question to an emailer instead of the press. And it's kind of Apple's way of looking like, hey, we talk to the people, right? But this seems like an odd choice to do that.
Sure. And the phrasing on the actual email that Phil Schiller sent is so strange, because he has an opportunity to just say the App Store, because the App Store team was alerted to illegal content.
Yeah.
Period. And instead, there's this parenthetical, specifically child pornography. And that's so unnecessary from the app developer standpoint. Like, I don't need you tying my app to child pornography. I don't want it there. Clearly, I want to remove it as quickly as possible. And thank you for alerting me to it. But also, don't tie child pornography to other users, to my brand. That's crazy.
I mean, in Apple's defense, they are trying to combat the perception that they're arbitrary, right? And they know that a lot of people use Telegram for political dissidents or whistleblowing, and they didn't want to appear as if they were cracking down on that. I think that's why they decided, like, we need to make it clear that it was a really, really bad thing, and that's why we did it to Telegram. But there's this other side of it. It's like, well, okay, in this unique case, I see what you're doing, but it doesn't change the fact that your communications are generally pretty poor.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that's infuriating about the App Store is just that there are so many different people who have control of different segments of the App Store. So, like, if you are trying to get a hold of someone for, like, feature requests or something, you might not even be talking to someone at Apple. You might be talking to someone at their ad agency for the iPad or something. And then the iPad apps are a different agency than the iPhone apps and everything. And it's just, it's infuriating how bad their communication is around the developer side of the App Store.
And I don't want to single out Apple. The Daily Tech headline skill for Amazon got taken out for a couple weeks in October, and it took us a couple weeks to fix it because we couldn't figure out why. It kept saying the feed wasn't validated, and we're like, well, it works as a podcast, so it's obviously not the feed itself. And we finally figured out that it had to do with the server that it was on. And I don't even remember the details now, but changing servers is what fixed it. And it was because we had changed servers to a different server that it caused the problem in the first place. Anyway, it's a problem with a lot of these app stores. And I think it's indicative of a general problem with customer service, not just for developers, but for everyone, where you say, hey, I've got a problem with your product. And these companies are not set up to handle the scale of customer requests.
Right.
I don't know what the answer to that is, though.
The App Store is a mystery to me. I'm like, you know.
Well, the answer to that in something like YouTube moderation has been for YouTube to hire 10,000 people, right? The answer in Facebook to fight fake news is to staff up. It is something where the tech companies thought, this is so cool, we can use algorithms and it'll just make it happen. And it turned out that there was an aspect of it that they couldn't handle with algorithms.
Yeah, and this has been infuriating since like 2000. You could never get someone on the phone at Google for AdWords or something.
Yeah, and companies have gotten better about it, but it's still something that drives people nuts. So I was hoping maybe that Brett would come in and go, you guys, I'm an app developer. I make an app, work on an app every day. Things are so much different now. It doesn't sound like
it's not. It's not, not at all. It's not. And it's... I mean, I had a situation where we didn't not get approved by the App Store. Instead, we moved into an in-review phase. And then we stayed in that in-review phase for a month and a half. And we got locked into it.
So, oh, no.
So we couldn't pull it to post a new update. And we couldn't post a new update until that one got approved. Or
kicked out, yeah.
And you couldn't get a hold of anybody to help?
Couldn't get a hold of anyone. The only phone numbers that exist are the phone numbers to talk to people who you want to talk to about a feature request or something. So we called the people to say, like, hey, I know you're the guys who would feature or not feature my app on the App Store, but is there anyone that you can talk to figure out what's going on? And the answer is simply no. Like, they don't even know who that person is. They don't know how to reach out to them. So we just had to sit on our hands for a month and a half until that approval finally went through. And then immediately we had two other updates that we just pushed out as quickly as possible.
That's that is not ideal, folks.
No, hey. It's terrible.
Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and join the fun over at our Facebook group. Facebook's your thing. Facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. Let's find out what's the thing of the day, Sarah.
Chris Christensen at Airbnb's move into real estate.
This is Chris Christensen with Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. Interesting story that I saw this week about Airbnb. Now, some of you have stayed in Airbnb, or maybe even like me, been an Airbnb host, but there is a lot of controversy about this company in terms of coming in and taking up a lot of the apartments in a city so that it affects the rental market by people turning apartments into Airbnb locations. But apparently, Airbnb has secured a $200 million investment, and they're going to roll out their own branded apartment buildings across the United States. They are, in fact, building a set of apartments, a 324-unit building in Kissimmee, Florida, near Orlando. You can rent an apartment in this building, and then you can rent it out on Airbnb for up to 180 days per year. The idea seems to be to change the image here that we're taking away from the market. We're going to add rental units, but then allow them to be available for Airbnb. It's an interesting idea and a $200 million PR campaign in some ways. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
I can't wait to see
it's
them try.
Like they're reinventing the hotel. I mean, it's like, yeah, build more units and then nobody's going to be mad that you're, you know, taking away rentals for everybody else.
It's like they're uninventing the hotel. I feel like the margins have to be worse doing it that way than just keeping the rooms for themselves and renting them out 365, right?
Maybe, although they're renting out the apartments 365, so they get the money twice, right? They get the rent from the people who live there, and then they get a cut of the Airbnb rentals that the people who are renting from them get when they sub-rent out, and the landlord's not going to be mad at you.
You changed my mind, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm in.
And some of the charm is like staying in someone's actual house, right? But Airbnb probably knows what rentals tend to, you know, they're like, they're the cool ones, so like that's what you could model your hotel after.
Yeah. Can't wait to see them try this in Barcelona. That's all I'm going to say. Let's check the mailbag, Sarah.
All right. Adam in Always Sunny San Diego says, I thought I'd share a voicemail I got from a scammer saying they were from Dell. I was taken aback because in the voicemail he left, he verified my full name, knew my computer model, even my service tag. So I did a Google search. There was a Dell hack of some sort over a year ago. Ars Technica wrote about it. Didn't have any luck getting Dell to admit what really happened or exactly what customer info was taken and what the company was doing about it. I found it odd they're calling me now, considering how long ago this was. So maybe just a word to the wise, they're still trying to use the stolen information to contact customers.
You know, he attached the phone call, and I didn't want to play it because there were some numbers that he says in his email were legitimate numbers. I'm like, I don't want to give that kind of information out. It was a pretty convincing sounding call. It's like, hey, we're calling from Dell Tech. It was just bored enough to sound like an actual tech support call, like call this number. And then the giveaway though was when he's like, or go to this web address. The web address didn't end in Dell.com, and I'm like, well, hold on now.
Right.
Man, talk about like scale of customer service not working in your favor. I've never really considered this before, but it's gonna take millennia for people to use all 145 million pieces of information from the Expedia hack.
Yeah. It's just one call Experian. At a time. Experian. Yeah. No, I knew what you meant. Yeah.
That's crazy. They have so much work to do. Of course he didn't get a call until years after the Dell hack.
Yeah, because it took him that long to plow through it all. That's crazy. Maybe these folks who are being employed by scammers could get employed by, I don't know, Apple, Google, Amazon. As actual tech support that actually supported people. I don't know how you make that transition though.
What was the URL? Not Dell.com, but what was it?
Oh, no, I'm not going to give out the URL. But it ended in like .fr, I think, or something. Oh. Yeah.
Certain dead giveaways.
Like, that's France. And it wasn't Dell.fr. It wasn't that straightforward. So, like FF or something. Anyway, that is crazy. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Adam, because there may be some people out there who would get fooled by this. And so it's good to have this on your radar. So if you get this call, you think, all right, hold on. Are you really from Dell? Are you really from anywhere?
Like step one is like, if they call you, be suspicious.
Yeah.
Step two, and so on. Thank you to Brett Rounsville for joining us today. Let folks know what you're up to these days.
Oh, shucks. I'm up to a whole bunch of stuff, but you can just follow me on Twitter at Amtrekker, AmTrekker. I just started posting some new stuff about a book I'm writing about my old adventures.
Excellent. Cool. This is the M-Trekker adventures, I would assume?
It is, yeah. I just got a new agent. It is Barack Obama's former literary agent.
No shit. Wow.
And, hey, fancy town.
Yeah. And the working title is Living a Lifetime in 479 Days.
Why did the president fire this agent, though? That's what I want to know.
Well, no, when you're big enough, you don't use an agent anymore. Yeah, you just use a lawyer. Otherwise, they take 15%.
Totally. That makes perfect sense. Well, thank you to everyone who supports the show at patreon.com/DTNS. Cool thing that Patreon launched today is called Lens. It's basically Snapchat within Patreon. It's not a competitor to Snapchat. It's meant to just be a way for creators to send cool little videos. So if you have the Patreon app, you might check it out. I've been using it this afternoon as I was getting ready for the show. It does cause notifications, which Miko and I were talking about on the creator page. It'd be nice if you had some more granularity over that. I try not to abuse the privilege, but I have been doing a few lenses, not snaps, lenses in there. It's just one of the perks you get if you support us on Patreon at patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC at alphakeekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Back tomorrow with Patrick Norton as our guest. Scott Johnson had to go somewhere else. He'll be back next week. Patrick Norton with us tomorrow. Here's a little Scott Johnson for you, though.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I forgot this one doesn't have Scott voicing it. Oops. All right. Good show.
Rats.
Thanks, Brett.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on. That was fun.
Yeah. Fun. Maybe I hope it was maybe a little cathartic for you.
I refrain from screaming, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
Yeah.
Next time I'll try not to be hopped up on cold medicine too. That'd be a nice touch.
So your anger flows through.
Oh man. There are so many dumb things that Apple does that we'd never even have time to touch on. I even had a thing recently where I started getting so by far the worst app in the entire App Store is one of Apple's apps. It's their iTunes Connect app,
mm-hmm.
where you get your statistics, your developer statistics. But I had a thing for like a month and a half. I was getting 10 times the normal downloads according to their stats. And they were all coming from China without anyone ever actually clicking on the App Store page for the Mission Pick app. I have no answer for it whatsoever. I wrote to Apple 3 times and literally never heard a word back at all.
And then it just went away?
Just went away after a month and a half. It was the craziest thing. That they're just a total never mind.
They're a total what should we call this show, Roger?
Google promises a chicken in every phone. What goes up, Musk brings down.
Wait, a chicken in every phone because of the AR thing. Got it. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Apple Telegram's reason for app removal.
Because it's slow to respond. That's funny.
Apple, twice the price, half the features. Or
why didn't you send a telegram?
Apple HomePod, far from a home run. Let's see. Why did the chicken cross your VR?
Viacom is pretty funny. I don't know. I think out of context, it's a little, it probably doesn't work, but.
Chicken. Oh, this one's good. Chickens and phones when cars fly.
Wow. Get 'cause it? A car literally flew today. And chickens in your phone. The sunken place for app stores.
We're not. No.
No.
Fido.
I like the chicken in every phone.
Chicken in every phone. Yeah, all right.
The best.
I'm good with that. Google for president.
Can you imagine? a hive mind?
I would prefer, I think.
You say that. But let me just say, every time people say, well, I would prefer X, then X happens.
Yeah, so stop saying that.
And then you're like, well, wait a minute. I really didn't mean X.
Yeah. It's totally kidding. All jokes.
It's a long way of me saying careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
You just made...
Wait, are you still in the East Bay?
I'm still in Tom's condo.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted me to say that. I was trying to be vague.
No, no. We've said it in public before.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Still shipping Tom money every month.
Yep. Awkward. On time, too. I never get to complain.
On the family.
Yeah. Eileen
and I painted that red wall back there.
Yeah. I remember when Eileen came up to me and said, what do you think of this? And she gave me a swatch of red for the wall.
It's really great because I unbeknownst had this red couch in storage that matches perfectly. It's great. So thanks, Eileen.
Are those still the red curtains over there? We didn't take those, huh?
Oh, no. Those got the axe pretty
quickly.
Those
are gone. Okay.
Yeah.
I have red curtains here now. Not the same ones either. I just love me some red curtains around.
Yeah. It's just Vincent Price.
They make you feel rich.
They make me feel like I'm in the Red Lodge talking backwards with a dwarf.
Where are you, Sarah?
Black Lodge.
I'm sorry, Black Lodge. You're right. I lost my Twin Peaks card there.
Oh. Red curtains, though.
Where are you, Sarah? What part of the world?
That would actually be kind of cool.
Sarah, Brett's asking you a question.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Where are you right now? You're still in San Francisco?
No, I live in Venice, down in LA.
Oh, holy cow. That's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you like it?
Not far from Tom.
Yeah, it's actually ridiculously close to me. Like,
yeah.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
10 minute drive?
Mauricio's down in Venice too, right?
Yeah, he's over there in the same area.
Like, I can walk to his house easily. He's really close.
Oh, cool.
And we got Connor, a little mafia down here.
Yeah, that's fun.
Connor Kilpatrick from iFanboy and... frequent guest on Damn Fine Podcast, the podcast I did about Twin Peaks when I pretended I really did know things about Twin Peaks. He lives
That's
over
cool.
there too. Yeah.
Yeah. I miss Southern California. I would totally move back down there in a heartbeat, but I don't think I could ever convince Katie of that.
You can move into this house.
You don't own it though.
No, I know. It's not the same.
That'd be such a shame. I know that if I did move out of here, then Justin would be in my way. I wouldn't be able to move out because he'd be trying to shove his stuff
in. He would just be moving the birds in.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. What did we decide to call this show?
Congrats on the upcoming book. Awesome.
We decided to call
it. Well, it hasn't sold yet. There's still some work to be done.
Call it Google Promises a Chicken in Every Phone.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of it. It's looking good.
Awesome.
I laugh when I read it, so I'm happy.
That's important.
Yeah. I just sent the third draft of the proposal to the agent late last night. So
nice.
It should start going to publishers soonish.
That's exciting. You know, I'm actually getting to the point where I may want to try the agent route.
Have you never had one?
Never done it. Not for books, no.
Because, Well, I mean, I've never had an agent. Not for books, but just, you can get by.
I don't think there's a lot of reasons to have it, especially if you're going to write often. Like, self-publishing is a really viable route.
Yeah, yeah.
But since I was just going to... This is kind of a one-off. I don't expect to ever write another book, or at least if I do, it will be a similarly strange reason. So I felt like I just needed to get as many people on my side as possible.
Yeah, I'd like to try it out because I actually had a really good experience with Inkshares, which is sort of like all the benefits of a publisher without the need of the agent and the slush read, right? Because you do the crowdfunding to get it going. That was great. I'm definitely doing another book with Inkshares. So I'm like, cool. Well, maybe I should try the whole agent route and just see how that
Yeah. Works. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. I mean,
it'd be interesting to see how many times I get rejected. Now. Yeah.
Andrew has an agent now, and it's been great for him.
Yeah, I know. Andrew's kicking. He's doing great. I'm lensing where the old fireplace used to be so people get perspective. Someone was asking in chat about it. Yeah, Andrew's busy too these days.
I mean, he's always been busy, but
that's true.
He is to a point where he is he's busy at one thing over and over again, yeah, which is a miracle for him.
Well, and it used to be when he first came to LA, it was around the same time that I came, and we would get lunch every so often, and it was always be him saying whenever. And now trying to match up our schedules has gotten tricky because
we're
both doing things.
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me, buy my book, Pavaria, at TomMerrittBooks.com.
Speaking of books, I've got one.
This one's self-published, so I really need you to buy it.
I actually just updated my website for the first time in 6 years yesterday.
Wow, 6 years? No kidding?
Wow.
What was
the motivation after all that time?
Well, the link to that website is in the book proposal, so I wanted it to not look like it had been stagnant for 6 years.
Sure, makes sense.
But I also just posted, so like the way a book proposal works for a nonfiction book, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but it's usually like an anecdote to get people interested, like a 5-page hook of some kind, and then some marketing details and some other stuff, and then chapter summaries, and then a big sample chapter, which is like 20 pages or so.
Oh, nice.
So I just posted the anecdote, the first like 5-page hook as a post on amchecker.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
I want to take a look at that actually.
Yeah. It's about the time I almost got arrested in Ohio for speeding.
Nice. I love how most of your stories are about almost getting arrested.
I wouldn't say most.
Not about arrested, but it's like there's that time I almost got crushed by a bulldozer, or you know, it's like,
yeah,
like they're tales of true danger.
Yeah, I feel like entirely too many times in my life I've come way too close to bad news.
And it's not BS. It's not like I walked out of my door and a car went by. I almost got hit by it. No. These are real situations.
No, it's like blood stains on my pants stories.
That's how you know you had fun.
That was the pitch to the agent, actually. Right?
There is, I said that because there was a line in the proposal about blood stains on my pants, and it was circled with a big what? Explain. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I kind of like leaving you wondering.
That's the hook. Makes you want to read the book. Near tragedy, the Amtrekker story, says Ethan Kane. Well, yeah, you gotta make your way down here.
Yeah, we might come down in March. We have some friends that are doing something that we're supposed to be at, so we'll try and spend some time down there.
March Madness. Not March Madness. That's a trademarked term.
Ooh, SpaceX. What a fun day on Twitter.
No kidding. All you have to do to have a fun day on Twitter is spend billions of dollars launching a really heavy rocket into space carrying a car.
Oh, but Roger, I will do that email now. Glad I forgot. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My favorite Amtrekker cop story is far too short to actually put in there. For the proposal, but I was driving a 1984 Cadillac Eldorado hearse across the country.
Okay.
And I was in Missouri, and I stopped for gas, and the gas station attendant, and this is a pretty good impression, so bear with me.
Which part of Missouri?
She said, far west side. I was just about to go into the next state.
Okay.
And she said, y'all got any dead bodies in there? And I was like, no, well, kind of. I've just always found it's a lot easier to smuggle drugs across state lines in the body of corpses. Oh. And she didn't smile at all. She didn't think it was funny. She didn't laugh even a little bit.
Yeah.
So I pumped my gas and I went on about my business. And then I got pulled over like 7 miles down the road. And the cop goes, do you know how fast you're going? And I was like, the speed limit? And he like poked his head in to look in the back of the hearse. And saw that there was no dead body back there. He's like, all right, keep up the good work. And then left.
Keep up the good work. He probably, you know what? Here's my imaginary backstory. Is that woman at that gas station is a thorn in his side. And always, right. Always calling him like, this couple looks suspicious and they just came in. And so he, when he looked in and saw there was nothing there, said, keep up the good work because you needled her. And he was happy about it.
That'd be great. Or just like everyone treats her like that. Everyone that walks in gives her some ridiculous story about the transgressions happening in their car.
Hey, were you the one I sent the information about... Remember I had a guest on, not Texilla, on the system a while back about making alcohol?
I don't remember getting anything like that, if you're talking to me. But I have definitely made alcohol. With Dr. Tiki.
Hey, Raj.
Yes.
I actually don't have that email. I can DM. That would be the way that I would ask.
Sure.
If that's cool with you.
Yeah. No, I just need to, I don't have any contact info.
Secret.
Okay.
Secret. Oh, speaking of secrets, I'm going to stop the broadcast.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Before we close out.
What are they planning? Who's the email to?
Well, we got to bring the hearse around. So yeah, Patrick Norton tomorrow, and we'll see you then.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thanks for the fun. Bye, Sarah. Good to see you.
Bye. You too.
And goodbye, patrons. Have a lovely time. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye, patrons.